Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Jeremiah chapter 31. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the text. Sin disrupts the lives of God's people, and it leaves scars. By the grace of God, those scars generally go unseen. Think of how radically different it would be if all of the people around you right now knew everything that you had ever done. Every moment, every failure, every unfortunate word. It would make for an uncomfortable gathering. Tonight is Maundy Thursday, a time when we remember our Lord's Last Supper and we celebrate that we received this broken body and shed blood of Christ our Lord through the mystery of the sacrament. As we do this, we gather in the presence of a God who does know every moment, every word. But he chooses not to remember it against us. We draw near to worship a God who knows all about us. As you meditate upon our Lord's passion and come to receive his body and blood this evening, my prayer for you is that you experience the reality that, yes, he knows every last detail. And he loves you anyway. This table is a place of forgiveness. In Luke's account of the Last Supper, we didn't read all of it in the gospel, otherwise it would get rather lengthy. He's very clear to let us know that Jesus knew all about Judas and what he was doing. When you read Luke's gospel, he presents it, it's like a movie where you see one person and what they're doing, and then you see another person, and then you see both of them together. Because first he points out Judas. As the feast of Passover is approaching, Judas goes to the rulers of the Jews, and he betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That was his preparation for celebrating Passover, betraying his Lord. Then Luke points to Jesus. This is the part that we read. Jesus sends Peter and John to locate the room where he's going to eat this Passover meal, preparing a table for his disciples, for all of his disciples. And then Luke brings Jesus and Judas together because the hour of Passover has come. So we move along through the story that the day is approaching. The day has come. Now the hour is at hand. And Jesus and Judas are together at the Passover table. And here is where Luke lets us know that Jesus knows all about what Judas is doing. Jesus says, "The hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table." That's the very next verse where we cut off our gospel reading. And then you hear the reaction of the disciples. How do they react to this statement, this new knowledge? Well, they have an argument. They begin to argue among themselves. They need to figure out which one of them it is. We must find out who is at fault. We must dig around into everyone's closets, looking for the certainty of sin. the way of human nature. I assure you, it is true for everyone here, if we go looking, digging around, searching for sin and guilt, you will find it. Adam's children have this trait, and it goes all the way back to Adam. We have this desire to make sure that blame is assigned. When you go back to the garden, Adam blames Eve, Eve blames the serpent. This, though, is not how Jesus operates. That's what's so amazing about what you see there in the upper room surrounding the Lord's Supper. Jesus knows about the evil that is going on around him. He knows what's going to happen in the coming hours. He begins the meal by talking about his suffering, something that he has been speaking to his disciples about all along the journey, letting them know that he will be turned over to the leaders. He will be beaten and killed. And on the third day, he will rise from the grave. Then he ends the meal by talking about him being betrayed by one of his own. He will also speak of being denied by Peter, and that all of the disciples will fall away. Yet in the face of this certain evil, Jesus does not try to keep even Judas away from the other disciples. He doesn't turn the disciples against Judas or cause them to seek out fault in one another. In the face of certain evil, Jesus continues on doing the certain work of God. Yes, one will betray him, one will deny him, all will fall away. But in the midst of all that is wrong and weak and evil involving these children of Adam, there are certain things that remain true. God is alive. And even though he will go to the cross, his love will not fail. It is certain. And in that night, the kingdom of God is coming into the world. In the face of this certain evil that lies before them, Jesus offers certain forgiveness, certain salvation. This is my body, which is given for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This new and better covenant, where I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more, as the prophet Jeremiah had proclaimed. The Old Testament Israelites had celebrated their salvation from Egypt, being set free from slavery, being rescued with that first covenant. That's what Jesus and the disciples and all the Jews in Jerusalem were remembering that evening of Passover. That night, however, Jesus calls upon his disciples to remember him, because he is their freedom, and there is a new covenant in his blood. In him is eternal life, eternal love, perpetual forgiveness, where God remembers their sin no more. Sin, death, and the power of the devil are destroyed in his broken body and shed blood. He will bear the punishment for their sins and ours. He will carry that to the cross. With his blood, he will claim us as his own, so that the angel of death puts away its sword, just like in Egypt. The blood of the Lamb will keep us safe from the angel of death. He is the resurrection and the life. In this body and blood of Christ, we receive eternal forgiveness. And as often as we eat this body and drink this cup, we proclaim the benefits of the Lord's death for all people until he comes, as Scripture says. There, at the Last Supper, we see this gracious work of God among his disciples. We continue here in the Lord's Supper this evening to see the gracious work of God among us. His love and his work is ongoing. We come tonight with scars, with parts of our lives we'd rather not remember. There are things that we have done that make us say, "Oh, if you only knew." And for those who are close to us, there are some who do know. Some of us here are relative strangers. But for all of us, God knows. He sees and knows all things. And tonight, we come to him again and confess the certainty of our sin. And tonight, God comes and proclaims the certainty of his salvation, and that he remembers your sin against you no more. In the death of his Son, you are forgiven. In his body and blood, he comes to you with the surety of his love, mercy, and forgiveness. Here, you are no longer a sinner before his eyes. You are known and acknowledged as a child of God. God prepares a place for you at his table, a place of forgiveness, and says, "Come." I invite you to experience the wonder of what happens when a God who knows all about you chooses to only know you through the gracious work of his Son who has covered you in his own righteousness. So the Lord looks at you and remembers your sin no more. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.